over the web and have the opportunity to see this discussion of this topic. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Chip. Thanks, Chip.
Thank you, Don. Well, thank you, Don. And a special thanks to EDUCAUSE, who have actually helped the Genie project a tremendous amount. And greetings to everybody out there in radio land, or I guess we now call it webcasting land. I'm here to talk about the Genie project, which is now ramping up across the U.S. So let me briefly introduce it and then tell you what's going on. And then at the very end, I would encourage you to actively get involved, and I'll tell you some of the ways that you could do it. The Genie project is funded by the National Science Foundation to create infrastructure for computer scientists. And the specific research area that's of interest is the global networks that we're all living in now, put very briefly, the internet. I think anyone that's active in networking knows that we don't have a good scientific basis for any of the networks that we build. It's not like civil engineering. To tell whether a network is going to be stable or unstable, there's no book that you can open and figure that out. So there's some very basic science issues involved in this. I think many of us believe there are important innovation issues. There are now, I believe, substantial barriers to innovation from universities, in particular affecting the course of the world, which is quite different from the way it was in the 1970s and 1980s. And then finally, I think all of us are aware there are some extremely important society issues here. We're all increasingly relying on the internet, but I think we're getting more and more unsure that we can trust its security, resilience, or our privacy on it. So this is a great research area, as it turns out. And Genie is stood up as infrastructure to support this research. So it's a virtual laboratory for exploring future internets at scale, which is taking shape across the United States. And the at-scale part is kind of important. I'll give a little example of this later, but for a number of years, people have been doing future internet experiments or attempting to develop large-scale services and research, but on one or two computers. And I think all of us understand that the scale at which things work in the world now is so big that you need a significant infrastructure to support research in this area. Genie opens up enormous opportunities, both for research and, I think, as you'll see, for innovation, for bridging very quickly from research into practical services. And this, I'll illustrate this in a minute with a little example. But first, I want to talk about the key Genie concepts, which are slicing and deep programmability. So this is a little bit different from the internet that we all know and love today. But I think it has one of the key advantages of the internet. In the internet, I would argue one of the reasons there's been so much innovation is because you can buy any software you want and put it on your laptop. Your laptop is an open device. If you know how to write software, you can write software and put it on your laptop, put it on other people's laptops, and so forth. Well, Genie takes this idea much farther, saying, how about if you could install any software you want all the way through the network? Right, not just in your laptop, but deep into the network. So here's a little picture of this. On the left, we see there's a fellow who's installing the software that he wants, not just into his laptop, but into all the middle boxes into the network. Let's let him put the software he wants in the firewalls, and in the content distribution nodes, and in the routers, and in the clouds. So this is a very radical decoupling of the software that's running from the boxes in the system. We're used to this in our laptops. We don't really think the laptop is a closed system that you can never add any more software to. But as soon as you get into the network, things are very different nowadays. You cannot put the software you want in a firewall or deep in the cloud or what have you. So the Genie idea is, yes, you can put that software all the way through deep into the network. And then at the right, you see somebody who's installing a completely different set of software deep into the network. So there's an obvious conflict here that, you know, they're going to collide in the middle of the network. And so Genie uses the concept of slicing to keep these separate, so that the man's software permeates his slice of the network, and the woman's permeates her slice of the network. But the slices are kept isolated so that they don't interfere with each other. And this has a number of advantages, I think, as you'll see. But in the research sense, one of the major advantages is we don't have to pick the single best future internet now, which is a very hard job. But we can run a whole bunch of future internets in parallel. And oh, by the way, in parallel with today's internet. So we don't have to throw the big switch and get rid of today's internet, but we can run a whole set of different internets at the same time and see which ones we like and which ones we don't. Well, this sounds a little bit fanciful and a little scientific or science fiction-ish, but it's actually, Genie is going live at a number of locations across the U.S. Currently, it's running at, I think it's currently 15 campuses and throughout Internet 2 and National Lambda Rail. A major expansion is now ramping up, and I'll talk about that quite a bit. But it is up and cycling in prototype form. So let me give a little bit of an introduction to Genie. This is a comic book, and I always feel slightly embarrassed when I'm talking to an educated audience and showing comic books, but I think they're now taught in classes, right? So I think graphic novels, yes, I'm sorry. I'll have to change my vocabulary. It's now acceptable to show graphic novel. I've been going to network research conferences for lo these many years, and for many years, researchers, probably since the beginning of time, have stood up and said, I have a really great idea. So this particular guy, this researcher, his idea is, hey, in the late 60s when people created the ARPANET and, you know, then the internet and so on, it was a miracle you could ever get one computer to talk to another. But nowadays, you know, we're drowning in computers. We have more computers than we know what to do with. But really, what the internet is all about nowadays is content and people, neither of which can be represented in the internet architecture. It doesn't talk about content or people. So this guy's brilliant idea is, I would like to design a future system that is entirely based on content and people as the fundamental principles. Well, if you've ever been in a crowd of researchers at a conference, the audience reaction is entirely predictable. It is, that will never work. And then there's kind of a stream of objections of one sort or another. You know, it'll never scale. Well, what about security and so forth? And for many, many years, that was kind of it. Somebody had an interesting idea. Maybe they tried it on a computer in their lab. Maybe they didn't. The audience thought it would never work. And then they all went home and came back a year later and kind of did it again. But now we've gotten to an interesting point where Genie, where people are actually trying it. And so in this particular case, this guy, because he's into content, he's pouring his software into the cloud, which is kind of where content lives. He's pouring his software into a bunch of content distribution nodes, routers, you know, middle boxes in the system. And he's also putting his software in wireless systems over a few cities, cellular systems. Now, why is he putting it in those places? Well, that's where the people are, right? People are where wireless is, or wireless is where all the people are. And so he's got all the materials he needs to build, you know, a nice demonstration content distribution system. And so he programs up Genie. He's given a slice of Genie. He's not given all of Genie, but he's given his own isolated slice so he can put the software he wants all the way through that slice. And away he goes, and presumably he starts writing papers, and he publishes the papers. And as research usually happens, it, you know, as the system exists for a few years, it begins to morph. And so this is one of the interesting thoughts about Genie, is that you might do experiments that don't last an afternoon or a week. You might do experiments that are kind of running experiments that last a few years. His content distribution system kind of turns into a location-aware social system as he morphs it. And the other interesting thing about Genie, the thing that really got me involved, was these are experiments or research ideas that are starting to engage large numbers of real people. Most of the network test beds in the past have been isolated. You know, there's a traffic generator at one end, traffic source, traffic sink. You ran the traffic, you did measurements. But that's not really what the internet is about. The internet is really deeply engaged with people. And so these experiments, a lot of them, we think, will start having real people use them. And they use them through their handsets or through their laptops or whatever. But in particular, his experiment is starting to gain some real traction. Let's say he's getting tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of users of his experiment spread across the U.S. So this is starting to really get into internet scale experimentation at this point. Now, he still only has a slice of Genie. He may have more cities, you know, a couple more clouds, some more content distribution machines, and so forth. But it's still a slice of Genie. Other experiments are running in other slices. And for a long time, you know, those of us working on the project really weren't sure what it would look like to one of these people that's using an experiment. But I think we've now figured it out. It's just a screen with stuff on it, just like anything else you use. You know, it's a window or a screen on your handset or what have you. And users don't know or care that they're connected to Genie rather than the internet. You know, it's just another interesting application as far as they're concerned. Some of the Genie experiments may in fact just use the internet protocols. Some of them may use non-internet protocols, things that are not IP. And we already have a fair number of people doing that. And some of them may use a mixture of the two. I like these IP services, but I've got a few things that don't work very well in IP. So you can imagine in the slices kind of behind the screen, you can run a number of different protocols, but the users will never know. It's just another interesting application as far as they're concerned. All right, so this is one trajectory through a Genie researcher's life. Here he started with an interesting idea. It grew to be a somewhat different idea over the course of several years. Started to engage tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of real people who are actually using this and find it kind of interesting. And then it eventually migrates out of Genie as a real thing, right? There it is. Now you've got it. It's up and running. So I think this is a very important trajectory, if we can make it work, is to have that way where it's pretty easy to go from an early research experiment into something that has a lot of real users. If you can make that trajectory smooth and easy, which I think we're doing, that opens up a lot of doors. Okay, now sometimes when I give this graphic novel, people say, oh, I get it. Genie is a content distribution network. And no, actually it's not. A Genie is kind of basic infrastructure that lets you run a lot of different kinds of things in parallel, each in their own slice. And so we know for sure there are people that want to run sensor network experiments. What if we're all living in, you know, large-scale sensor fields? There are certainly people that are interested in high reliability, highly robust versions of the internet, and so on. And so these are all running in parallel slices within Genie. Genie itself is basic infrastructure. It's kind of cyber infrastructure for computer scientists. It itself is not a content distribution network or what have you. Okay, so kind of the moral of the story is Genie is meant to enable at-scale experiments that might or might not be compatible with today's internet. They certainly don't have to be. I didn't talk about repeatable experiments, but there are a lot of researchers that want to run repeatable experiments, so that's very important. We certainly want to run in-the-wild experiments, those that are engaging real people, ideally substantial numbers of real people. I didn't talk about the instrumentation and measurement, but that's very important for research and certainly is there. And then a key goal is this large-scale growth, because doing things at scale is significantly different from doing them on a couple computers in the lab. Okay, well, let me stop and see if anyone has any, you know, angry rebuttals to this, or kind of, well, why aren't you doing this instead of that, or what have you? If you do want to ask a question or make a comment, if you could please use the microphone in the middle of the room. There are people listening to the webcast, and they won't be able to hear you if you don't. But please, if you've had a long day, stand up and, you know, give your own speech at this point.
My question is, so does Genie use OpenFlow?
So does Genie use OpenFlow? Yes. Yeah, I'll get to this in a bit. We're actually a very large OpenFlow deployment. We've currently got OpenFlow running through 8 campuses and 2 of the national research backbones in the U.S., all interconnected. We like OpenFlow a lot, and, you know, I'm not sure because, you know, it's really hard to tell. I think this is probably the biggest OpenFlow network around. Maybe not. Okay, let me push on. At any time you feel like an angry rebuttal, please just grab the mic and go for it. So let me talk a little bit about the infrastructure in Genie, and this will start getting into the OpenFlow aspects. But first, you know, this is a kind of a program management slide, although of one of the strangest program management slides that I've seen, and it's my own program management slide. Basically, you know, obviously, it was obvious to us all 3 or 4 years ago, Genie was kind of an insanely ambitious project. Nobody could quite visualize the end state, right? So how are we gonna do this thing that we don't quite understand? And so the strategy we chose is what we call spiral development, but I think it's what computer people have done forever. As fast as you can, build a prototype and start to use it. Once you're using it, then you'll have some idea of, oh, I don't like this at all, but this thing over here is really neat. I want more of that. Okay, rebuild, reuse. And so that's a 1-year cycle for us. Every spiral is a year long in Genie. So we're now just finishing up the third spiral of this. We've gone through about 3 years of rapid prototyping in this. And as we do this, the risk in Genie, the project risk has been going down considerably because we now actually kind of know what we want and we really kind of know how to build it at this point. And we're also building at substantially larger scales as the risk goes down. Genie is fundamentally a federated system, and this is actually really, really important. Genie is not some other suite of infrastructure over on the side, but instead, we Genie enable a lot of existing infrastructure and stitch it together to form Genie. So the different parts of Genie are owned and operated by many, many different groups. I think this is absolutely essential as you start to build something at scale. You know, the internet is not owned and operated by one group, and it never would have gotten anywhere near its current size if it had been. So the same with Genie. As we begin to build at scale, every part of Genie, for example, a campus, will be owned and operated by the campus IT people. The Internet 2 part of Genie is owned and operated by Internet 2, and so forth. So I think for those of us who grew up with the Internet, this is a very natural mental model, right? It's, you know, these are the equivalent of autonomous systems or what have you, but we're doing the same kind of thing in Genie. And then where they meet, you know, that's the equivalent of peering or what have you in the internet world. Probably the key programmatic idea in Genie, the key thing that really makes it work is the thought that we are Genie enabling existing systems, right? We're not trying to build something over there that's as big as the internet. That clearly would never work, right? You can't build something 1/10 of 1% as big as the internet. You can't come anywhere close to building anything of that size. So how are we going to build Genie at a large enough scale? The answer is we're going to convert over stuff so it can run research in parallel with production traffic. Research slices can run in parallel with production slices. So the first step is to get a bunch of commercial equipment that has small changes to it. Whatever the smallest change is that will let us build Genie, we want the commercial vendors to make equipment. You know, they'll have these vast spec sheets, you know, every protocol known to man. Well, very specifically, we want OpenFlow on that list. Right? So we've been working really closely with everybody to say, you know, why don't we just have some products that support what we need, and then we'll build out campuses using those products, and then we'll stitch together these campuses to form Genie. So clearly a key thing is trying to get equipment that supports slicing and deep programmability. Let me give a specific example. Georgia Tech is a great example. Clemson, of course, is an even greater example, but, you know, what can I do? I have the Georgia Tech slide in here. Georgia Tech is one of the 14 early Genie-enabled campuses. And here we've teamed up both with researchers. They have fabulous researchers there, Nick Feimster, Ellen Zegura, and so forth. But equally importantly, we team up with the infrastructure people on campus, the CIOs, the CTOs, and so forth. Now, at Georgia Tech, Clemson, these people know each other and they work really well together, the researchers and the CIOs. That is not typical, right? As we've gone from campus to campus, often the researchers don't know who the CIO is, they've never met, and so forth. So we've actually introduced a lot of researchers to their CIOs and vice versa. Okay, once those guys are engaged, they begin to make a plan for, let's get some equipment in-house, like let's get it in Georgia Tech. We'll try it, we'll put it in some racks or, you know, on a table somewhere. We'll try it for a while. And then they're starting to build out multiple buildings worth of this. Right? Let's get some open flow switches. We'll put them in the wiring closets in a bunch of buildings. Gain some operational experience with that. And then, and this is what we're really keen on, they're going after the dorms. Right? All the common spaces, all the dorms, and so on. So why do we want to do this? Well, we want those people who are going to be involved in the experiments, right? And I don't know a better, more rapid early adopter than the college sophomore, right? If there is something available on campus and it's interesting, they will try it, right? So that's, the campuses are very critical to get those actual people who are going to use all these experiments that are starting to run. And at the bottom, you can see this is, at this point, you know, this equipment list is about a year old or so. But there's a bunch of Genie-enabled equipment already in the pipeline. Okay, well, we're not just doing Georgia Tech. There are a number of places where we've been trying out Genie-enabled equipment. As I mentioned, 14 campuses across the U.S., a mixture of OpenFlow and WiMAX. WiMAX is actually a very interesting cellular technology that researchers can own and control as opposed to any other cellular technology. And throughout this, we've been working pretty closely with Internet 2 and National Lambda Rail. So we have a bunch of equipment, OpenFlow switches, that have actually been in National Lambda Rail and Internet 2 for several years now. And we're putting a bunch of racks of computers and various other things throughout the backbones as well. We've been very fortunate in having them as partners, not just for, you know, all the network that they bring to the party, but for their engineers, who are actually very good engineers. Okay, this is the status as of August, so it's now slightly out of date. We're very interested in creating layer two topologies that we use for slicing in Genie. So we have several different VLANs, kind of national VLAN footprints that we've set up. This is kind of our first step towards that. This, we don't think this is the ultimate destination, but this is something we've been able to do this year. So we've set up a couple national VLANs that span Internet 2, National Lambda Rail, and into a bunch of campuses, and then we use OpenFlow to create the slices within those VLANs. Each VLAN contains about 25 OpenFlow switches and currently about 40 computers. We're now starting to roll out, you know, the real computer footprint of Genie. So the number of this is a slightly odd balance of switches and computers, but it'll get much more normal in the next year. And we've been trying out federated operations of this whole thing, right? So we actually have Indiana University is coordinating. It's the Genie Meta Operations Center that is coordinating the OpenFlow / Genie operations across this ensemble, right? These are not isolated islands. These are actually complete interworking systems across campuses and the backbones. And we're kind of shaking this down. Nobody has ever operated one of these things before, right? Nobody has ever, I mean, a lot of this software is, you know, prototype firmware and so on. So, you know, there's some shaking that's going on. This is the way the topology looked kind of at one day at some point in August. I know you can't see any of the writing on there, but the round things are switches, as you might expect. The rectangles are computers. And so all the brown switches are campuses. So at the top left, you're seeing the University of Washington. In the center at the top, you're seeing Wisconsin and Indiana. BBN, which is where I'm from, at the top right. Then you're seeing Stanford, Clemson, Georgia Tech, Rutgers, and so forth, right? So these, they own and control their own OpenFlow parts of the system. And then you can see in blue is the National Lambda Rail part of Genie. So that's five OpenFlow switches there. And in red is the Internet 2 part of this. And so this is all interconnected, right? These are not islands. This is one big Genie system that I think it's going to get really substantially bigger in the course of this year. But this is was the footprint in which we are running Genie experiments, right in there. Well, you know, a lot of groups are already engaged in building Genie. Actually, we have one of a couple of the central Genie people right here. So if the questioning gets tough, you guys are going to have to sing and dance and answer all the questions. You know, we're very keen on having larger numbers of campuses, as I'll show you in a minute. But we're equally keen on having as many commercial providers as possible, right? We want them to make the smallest possible change to their equipment that lets us use that to build Genie. And I think we're getting pretty good traction there, especially the OpenFlow folks are really doing great in this space. Okay, so that's the infrastructure. About a year ago, a lot of us showed up in Washington, D.C., and we gave a truly huge set of real-time demos. At this point, I guess maybe the next slide tells me how many demos it was. It was a major set of live demonstrations. At the bottom you can see. So we were running 9 nationwide live demonstrations inside the Genie infrastructure in parallel, right? So we really did have slices set up. We were running each experiment in its own slice. And, you know, miracle of miracles, they all worked, which I don't think any of us expected. We expected, you know, I don't know, 2/3 might work or something, and the others, well, there's always PowerPoint. But as it happened, you know, they all happened to work during the very big demo. Let me give a representative subset of these 9, and it will show you how different the kinds of experiments are that people are running in Genie. So the first one I'm going to call out is the Pathlet experiment from the University of Illinois. And this has the idea, hey, we're not going to run the internet architecture, right? So this is a researcher who has his own idea of how internets ought to be. And he wants to program the routers to do his protocol, not the internet protocol. And so he did, right? He programmed routers in campuses. He programmed routers in Internet 2 and NLR to use his protocol, not the internet protocols. And one of the interesting things about his protocol is the source, you know, my laptop can say how it wants packets to get to the destination. So it can actually say, you know, if you figure out if you launch your IP packets, you know, off into your ISP, you have absolutely no idea or control how they're going to get wherever they're going to go, right? Well, in this one, you can, right? So you can say, I want this ISP, then that ISP, and so forth along the path. And you could set up multiple parallel paths if you want. And so he demonstrated doing failover from one path to another, running multiple paths in parallel, and so on. So that was quite nice. It really is very much like a new form of the internet, you know, his own new protocols, and he just programmed the routers to do his protocol rather than the internet protocols. Okay, another representative sample, totally different, is an active networking experiment. So for those of you in the research field, active networks came and went at some point in the 90s. Well, they're back. So this is a full-up active networking system, but it's a really nifty content distribution network. And so they programmed those very same routers, the ones that are doing the weird non-internet protocol. Well, at the same time, in a different slice, they were doing active content distribution networks, you know, shifting content around as user usage changed. Right? So a very different set of protocols that were running in the same boxes, but in a different slice. A third experiment that was demonstrated was a very large-scale sensor system. So these are major weather radars. And so they're, you know, despite the picture, which makes it kind of look like they're in Seattle, they're actually in Oklahoma. They're looking for tornadoes. That's their job in life. And this demonstration showed how you can kind of do this continuous scanning, but then when things start to look kind of ugly and you're wondering what's going on, you can kind of create infrastructure on demand. So it set up a bunch of computation and storage in Amazon EC2 and S3. It created network topologies on demand to link all these things together. It pumped the real-time radar stream, which was fairly intensive, into EC2 and S3, and did a series of very near-term weather predictions, like, yes, it is a funnel, and it's going to hit there about 3 minutes from now, right? And so that is a really neat example. You can see, you know, a lot of people want one of these, especially if you live in the Midwest. And then when you're all done, you tear it down, right? So this is a future internet? This is more like a service, right? I mean, it's hard to say this is an internet, but it's a very, very interesting kind of service that's been created within Genie. And then the final of the four that I'm going to mention was a full-up OpenFlow festival. Here you can see all the campuses that were interlinked. So there was OpenFlow running across however many campuses this was and throughout National Lambda Rail in this case. And it was using OpenFlow to do load balancing. You know, they programmed the network to do load balancing throughout the network rather than having specialized load balancer boxes. They used OpenFlow to do overall network optimizations and load balancing. So this was kind of a little OpenFlow tour de force that was going on. Okay, so that's where we've been. Let me very briefly talk about, so what's coming up. So we are advocating that at scale in Genie means about 100 to 200 campuses, right? So that's about the size that we think Genie should get to. We would like to permeate those campuses, right? It shouldn't just be Genie in a room or Genie at the edge, but it should actually be Genie throughout those campuses because we want to get all those students able to use wild and weird experiments, you know, in their life at campus. And then, of course, you know, we have to do the regional networks, the backbones, and so on to make this all work. We expect to keep going through spiral development. And plans are now beginning for, okay, how are we going to transition this to a community governance structure, right? How are we going to, you know, when the project is over, when we're done building it, you know, how's it going to be governed and run and so forth? This is our envisioned architecture. And you can see at the left, There are metro areas. I'll talk about this in a little bit, but we now believe there will be cities that are Genie-enabled as well as campuses. Research backbones. The regional networks will Genie-enable by putting in something called Genie racks and open flow switches. And the campuses over on the right, we expect to have 2.5 or 3 kinds of technologies, these Genie racks, open flow switches, and in some places WiMAX, which will give us the researcher-controlled cellular infrastructure. This is a very flexible infrastructure. It's really good for kind of networking, cloud-type experiments for computer scientists, but it's very basic cyber infrastructure. There's a lot of stuff that you could run in infrastructure like this. We are really pleased that Internet 2, Indiana University, and Stanford are in the process of creating a production open flow system. We really like this. This is exactly the kind of thing we want to leverage for Genie. Again, we don't envision Genie as being something separate over on the side. We would be, this is a service they're offering, and we would use that service. And so we're really happy at the way this thing is going. We expect in the near term, actually this is now happening, we're going to start pushing out a whole bunch of Genie racks, probably on the order of 40 or 50, maybe a few more different Genie racks. 40 or 50 locations will get Genie racks in the next couple of years, as well as a lot more OpenFlow and WiMAX. So that's already in the pipe. Then coming up, we think there will be a Genie Solicitation 4, which will do some major campus expansions, in particular putting Genie racks, OpenFlow, and some WiMAX in a number more campuses. And we'll keep doing this process, right? We're kind of growing by a buddy system. So when that seems to all be working, then we will grow again. And if we do that once or twice, we'll get to 100 or 200 campuses. So this is the kind of stuff that we solicited a year ago and that people are now building out and beginning to install and operate. A bunch more WiMAX base stations. It turns out WiMAX is extremely popular with researchers. We were surprised at how very popular it is. We intend to Genie-enable 5 or 6 regional networks, put a bunch more open flow switches into Internet 2 and National Lambda Rail, and then start plopping down these Genie racks at somewhere between 50 and 80 locations. A Genie rack, I'm not sure if I have a slide on this elsewhere. A Genie rack is an open flow switch and then a rack of virtualized servers underneath. Probably a couple non-virtualized servers for instrumentation as well. So you use OpenFlow to configure, in essence, to configure topologies within the rack. So you create virtual machines, you create slices with OpenFlow, stitching the whole thing together, and then you tie it into the larger OpenFlow system across Genie. Okay, we expect there'll be another solicitation coming out fairly soon in which we will ask campuses to submit proposals for building out Genie through their campus. There won't be enough money to build the entire campus at one whack, but I think the goal is to get a good start. EDUCAUSE helped a great deal. We had our second CIO meeting last July in which we talked about our ideas. We got a lot of feedback. We had, I think, about 25 or 30 CIOs in the room, and there's pretty good feedback back and forth about, would you participate? How would you do it? How much would it cost? That kind of stuff. We are now, right now, sending out two-person teams to about 20 or 25 campuses. thank you, Casey. Casey is one of the guys who's willing to hop on an airplane for quite a while. And basically, the idea is to go there, meet the people, have discussions, and have the, bring back information about how much is it going to cost, what's the basic plan, and then have the campus ready to submit a proposal, right? Ready to submit a good proposal for this next solicitation. If you were interested, Larry Landweber, emeritus professor from Wisconsin, is organizing this effort. I don't know if you know Larry or not. He is one of the creators of NSFNet. So he's very good at this. And so I've given his Gmail address. So if your campus is interested, please contact Larry. Okay, almost done. Genie and US Ignite. This is something that has loomed up in the past year. Ignite is a very interesting effort to spark the development of gigabit applications and services. As you can see at the bottom, it comes out of the White House as well as NSF. So this is an interesting effort. These applications are in areas of national priority, advanced manufacturing, health, and so forth, on an ultra-high-speed, deeply programmable, and sliceable network testbed. Right, so in kind of simple terms, this is starting to bring cities into a Genie-compatible infrastructure. This is the way I visualize the outcome. I think no one quite knows at the moment. But Genie, at the top left, Genie is research infrastructure for computer scientists. So, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to build things that computer scientists can use. And you can imagine the members of Genie, the policies and so forth, will all be geared to that. US Ignite is a public-private partnership for next-generation applications. It's going to contain, you know, major companies, cities, things of that sort, as the participants. It will probably have a completely different set of members than Genie does. The policies will undoubtedly be different, and so on. The whole governance structure will be different. But when you look one level below that, these are they're being built using interoperable technology. So you'll be able to create research slices or service slices that cross the campuses and the cities. Right? There are a lot of people that are very interested in trying to run experiments that span campuses and actually go into a number of homes within cities. Right? And these slices will let you do that. And then you could imagine, since major companies are involved in Ignite, conceivably, they will then begin to build out their own sliced infrastructure, and this will be a pathway by which these things can become fully production. Right? They would then be owned and operated by major companies, not by computer scientists or the National Science Foundation. Okay, well, we have six cities that are all lined up and ready to go. Chattanooga, Cleveland, Lafayette, Louisiana, Philadelphia, here we are, Salt Lake City, and Washington, D.C. And so from the Genie Project Office, we've built up the first two racks to go out, and they'll be going to Chattanooga and Cleveland within the next couple weeks. So we're going to start dropping the Genie technology in there. The Genie rack is kind of an easy kit to just kind of drop in, and then the open flow will begin to permeate. And these are not islands, right? Just like the internet, they're all stitched together so that you can make slices that span all these different things. Here's a very conceptual sketch of how this all works. Basically, we don't want to screw up any city's existing internet. Whatever internet they already have, please keep it. We do not want to suddenly become a failure point on people's internet service. So just keep doing the internet the way you're doing it. But parallel to that, on VLANs or whatever way is easiest for your city, please have a way of creating slices at layer two, and we'll terminate those in the Genie rack in the head end of the city, and then from there, they connect on into all the rest of Genie. Again, what does this look like to an average citizen? It's just a little window on the screen, as far as they're concerned, right? They don't know or care that some weird technology is being used. The fact that a lot of this is running at 100 megabits or a gigabit, they may well notice, right? Speed is easy to notice. Whether it's compatible with the internet, not compatible, they don't know or care. There are an ongoing series of organizational workshops for US Ignite. Here's some pointers to the parts that the NSF is organizing. There have been two to date. There's a third one that's going to be at the next Genie meeting, which is November 2nd through 4th. The NSF is getting ready to issue a solicitation, i.e. ask for proposals in this area. And there's some good CCC blogs about the workshops that have already taken place. Okay, so we really like this idea, as you might imagine. It was not our idea, but it's a very interesting one, because I think it really kind of opens the whole thing up to entire cities maybe kind of capable of living in the future this way. We're not going to take away their internet, right? Nobody's talking about, you know, prying the citizens' fingers off the internet. That'll be kind of on channel one, if you will. But there may be these other very interesting services that start to appear on channel two, three, you know, i.e. in different slices within the city. Okay, let me almost wrap up. I'm basically done now. Okay, so in short, you know, Genie, in some sense, we're out of the proof of concept stage. We figured out what we want. We've kind of pretty much figured out how we're going to do it. And so now it's full speed ahead, right? We got a bunch of campuses. The next effort is add another 20 or more campuses to the existing list. And oh, by the way, the regionals, the backbones, you know, kind of beef up all that structure. And hey, you know, there's a whole bunch of cities that are going to be coming online at the same time. So for us in the project office, this is getting a little intense, you know. That's a lot of campuses and then, you know, cities. Holy moly. That's our year. You know, that's what we're looking towards in the next year. But we are looking for about 20, maybe 20 to 30 campuses who really want to kind of be in this next great wave, right? It's now starting to grow. And so we have about 30 campus CIOs, last I checked, who are actively engaged. If your campus is interested, again, I suggest you contact Larry Landweber or me, if you know, you didn't see Larry's name go by. And finally, I would encourage everyone, if you're interested, to come to the Genie Engineering Conference. We have these every 4 months. They're three times a year. The next one is going to be in glorious Kansas City, Missouri, for those of you who have a fine set of distinctions you keep. I grew up about 4 miles from there, so these are actually distinct cities in my mind, but maybe not to everybody else. We currently have three tracks. We have a track for people who are doing the software development in Genie. You know, please make this thing work, right? And so there's a core set of people that are very interested in that. We have a track that's mainly focused on the campuses. Nuts and bolts. How do you get the stuff? How do you operate it? You know, who else is doing this? How do we talk to each other? That kind of stuff. And then we have an experimenters track. There's a lot of tutorials and workshops going on. In particular, at this one, we're having a workshop run by Matt Davey and crew out of Indiana University, and we'll have about 20 campus IT staff from 20 different campuses show up for a full day of training, right? Here's how you do OpenFlow, here's how you do Genie Racks, here's the practical nuts and bolts, here's how you might use it in your campus in real life. Of course, we want to also use it for Genie, but you know, the IT people have very clear goals about what they want to accomplish. I think we'll have a series of these. At some point, I think we'll probably get to the point where we're actually handing out OpenFlow switches to people that attend, right? It's like, here, take these switches and go home with them now that you've learned how to use them. If you're interested, you know, talk to us, because this is not going to be the last of these training sessions. We've issued a subcontract to Indiana. They'll be doing three of these a year. And I don't know how big they can get, actually. You know, we're not really sure about the dynamics of teaching people. Currently 20 seems like about the most we can do. Anyway, that's it. If you're interested, I hope you will come to Kansas City. The one after that is in Los Angeles in March. So if you can't make Kansas City, I hope to see you in Los Angeles. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to take them.
Come to room 111 to hear about OpenFlow.
That's right. They're off to tell you how to do it, actually.